morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to this service of worship, and we hope it is a blessing to you. We especially welcome Reverend James Hero, pastor of the Freedom Moravian Church, who will be bringing the message today. Pastor James was a student intern here while attending seminary. I just found out that was 7 years ago. Seems like it's not that long, but a lot of us remember him. He is married to Allie Gardner, who is a physician's assistant in Green Bay, and we are delighted to welcome both of them here. Please be sure and welcome the two of them at the back of the church after today's service. And we hope you'll join us in the fellowship hall to share some snacks and to visit with one another afterwards. This Wednesday, you are invited to the Meadows Gathering Room at SCAN at 1:30 p.m. for an Ash Wednesday service in partnership with our friends at the Sister Bay Moravian Church. Our watchword for the week is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. God said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Please stand with me as we sing hymn number 326, "How Good, Lord, to Be Here." And then remain standing for the liturgy on page one.
Promise. You will forgive our sins and will purify us
worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, humbly confessing our sins. Please be seated. Most holy and almighty God, our Savior, we confess our disobedience. We as sheep have gone astray, all of us turning to our own way. We have sinned and have done wrong. The good that we knew to do, we have not done. We know that we have been unworthy servants and have fallen short of your glory. Help us, deliver us, and forgive our sins, O God of our salvation, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Go and sin no more. Please stand. Lord, make us one in spirit with all your people as we profess our faith, saying, I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction. So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them. Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of all the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Our New Testament lesson is taken from the second letter of Peter. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, this is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Our gospel lesson is taken from the book of Matthew. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me back after these many years. I must not have done something too wrong that you're willing to welcome me back. It's a special treat to be here this morning and have my wife along with me. This is her first time getting to enjoy the Ephraim Moravian Church, and it's another special treat that some family friends, really my second family growing up, are still Door County locals, so it's great to have them all here and to be with all of you this morning, so thank you. Also, it was an added bonus. Bob made us pancakes this morning over at the Parsonage, so if every next Sunday routine that I have, I usually have Pop-Tarts before I preach, so I'm really going to have to step up my game when I go home and see if I can have a solid breakfast before worship next week. But we worship this morning kind of at a crossroads in the church year. We are here ending the season of Epiphany, and with Ash Wednesday coming up this week, the season of Lent is just around the corner. And the season of Epiphany begins, this season that we've been in since Christmas, it begins with the famous story of the wise men searching to find the baby Jesus. And they do so by following a single star in the sky. And that star, while shining brightly, if we were closer to it, it would be as bright as our own sun, but from this distance away, it might have looked like any other star in the night sky. And it's amazing to me that they were able to follow that light to get to the place where they'd learn about Jesus. That's what the season of Epiphany is all about, us coming to understand who Jesus is. Now, the church we are at in Freedom is out in the country in a town just north of Appleton, and the darkness out there was something that took me a lot of getting used to when I first moved there. Even now, I'll still take my dog out late at night and sometimes get spooked by the almost infinite darkness of it all. And I'm also a little directionally challenged. So as I look up at that night sky and consider following a single star to find baby Jesus, it seems almost impossible when you see thousands of stars up in the night. But from that one dim light, the season of Epiphany begins. The world starts to understand who Jesus is. Now, as we end the season of Epiphany this morning, the scene is drastically different. Instead of that one single star, Jesus is up on the mountain with his disciples, and they watch him be transfigured before them. His face shined like the sun, his clothes were a dazzling white, It sounds like this light was almost overwhelming, that it was blinding for the disciples to see. Like, they flipped on a light switch in the middle of the night before giving their eyes a chance to adjust. And my wife will tell you that I'm notorious for not hydrating at all throughout the day, like at all. And then right before bed, I think it's a good time to have one or two giant glasses of water because I realized I'm parched. And then when the 2 a.m. call comes and I have to go use the restroom, I navigate through the dark hallways as best I can, trying to hang on to that sleep, just waiting to be blinded, almost paralyzed by that light you flip on in the bathroom. That's what I imagine these disciples are facing this morning, a light they simply can't stand or be in the presence of. So we've gone from baby Jesus being a mysterious child, one that people were so curious about. We go from that one light in the sky to this moment on the mountaintop where things are shining brightly. The voice from heaven comes saying, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I'm well pleased." It's no longer a mystery of who Jesus is. They've come to a realization of who this man is. And for the disciples who witness it, for Jesus who goes through it, this truly is something that transforms them. They can't leave the mountain the same way they walked up the mountain. Their lives are forever changed because of this epiphany. And we have epiphanies of our own in our lives. Some are big, some truly change the course of our lives, but some are a little smaller, some we don't even notice. There's the small epiphany of learning that you've been singing a song wrong your entire life when you learn what the lyrics actually are. Like in Dancing Queen, ABBA is telling you not to feel the beat of the tangerine, but it's the tambourine. It was a strange day when I realized that's what they were singing about, but then the song made a little more sense. So not a life-changing epiphany, but still a little bit of clarity. Or the epiphany I had working at the Dairy Queen as a kid. We would always flip the blizzards upside down to show how thick the ice cream was and to surprise the customers. And I learned, I had an epiphany that you can't do that with blizzards that are topped with whipped cream. And I learned that the hard way because some poor woman got a glob of whipped cream right in her hand as she was reaching out for her banana cream pie blizzard. Again, not a life-changing epiphany, but still one that helps you not look like a fool at the Dairy Queen. But then there are those moments of clarity, those realizations that truly do change the course of your life. That when you go through them, you know in that moment, your life is never going to be the same. I think of an epiphany of the day I knew I wanted to marry my wife. It was, as any classic Wisconsin romance, it was at a Packer game in December. We'd only been dating for about a month. The Packers were awful that year. They lost the game. Mike McCarthy got fired after the game. Our feet were frozen from the slush. It should have been a miserable day, a miserable outing. But still now, it's a day I would relive 1,000 times over again because it was the day I knew this was the girl I wanted to marry. I knew my life wasn't going to be the same from that moment of clarity. We also have those moments in our life of faith, moments where it feels like we are truly walking hand in hand with God, that we see God's presence at work in our lives so clearly as we've never seen it before. I think of the several nudges that God placed in my life to get me to go to seminary, and I think I say several because I was trying to be pretty stubborn about what God wanted me to do. But eventually, one day at work, as I was out of college, I figured I couldn't hold off any longer. And at lunch on that one day, I called my home pastor and said, "How do I make this happen? How do I get things moving?" Because it just felt in my heart that life wasn't going to be the same unless I took this leap. And I'm sure you felt that in your own way at various points in your life, times where God's presence is almost overwhelming to you. Sometimes it's in hindsight, when you look back on the events of your life. Well, at the time, they might have been confusing, At the time, you might not have known why things were working the way they were, but from the other side, you could see where God was moving you, where God was placing you, so you were where you needed to be. It might be a moment of strength when you're dealing with illness. It might be a moment of peace when you're grieving the loss of a loved one. It might just be that moment in your life where you claimed your faith as your own. Even if you grew up going to church, there was probably a time where you decided, this is important to me and to who I am. Or you, through that epiphany, were just curious enough to try out church for the first time. God has been working in our lives in so many ways, and sometimes that presence is so easy to feel and understand. And it's a joyous thing to know that you're walking hand in hand with God. But the thing about those mountaintop moments, the thing about those epiphanies we sometimes experience is that they're fleeting. Those moments don't last forever. One moment we feel like we are closer to God's presence than we've ever been, and the next, those questions and those doubts come back. Those obstacles and those challenges are in our path once again. That bright light that was once shining has now been turned down to a low dim, and we struggle to see where God is at work. So what do we do as we wait for that next moment, that next revelation, that next time where we feel so close to God's presence? Well, the disciples, as they are on the mountaintop with Jesus, they're so overwhelmed by the experience that they indeed want it to last forever. They suggest building a dwelling place there for Moses and Jesus and Elijah. This has been such a powerful experience, they don't want to leave. And who could blame them, being in the presence of God on that sacred ground? But Jesus, too, after having this epiphany, after experiencing his transfiguration, he sees where his work is truly needed. Not in the comfort or the sacred space of the mountaintop, not where he would be safe and free from the evils of this world. He sees all of that and experiences it fully only to walk back down the mountain. He sees his need in the people of the world, that he's come to serve the people of this planet. And the disciples, to their credit, they're willing to walk with Jesus back down the mountain as well. They don't see their relationship with Jesus as a ticket to their own safety and their own security. They don't see this revelation about who he is as a source of comfort and peace for them, but they see it as a calling, that they have been asked to join Jesus in the holy work that he has been asked to do. And they boldly follow him back down the mountain. So friends, it is a wonderful thing to experience those mountaintop moments in our lives. It's a powerful thing to feel like we are truly in God's presence. But if we are living our faith demanding that each day be a mountaintop moment, if we expect each morning to be that bright, shining day where our faith has everything making sense and everything being so clear, if that's what our faith is, it is a shallow faith indeed. Because not every day is found up on the mountaintop. Not every day is a honeymoon. My wife will tell you that she had her own epiphany of wanting to marry me, but those moments come and go. And then you marry that person, and you realize that if James is doing the laundry and we need to air dry, hang up the athletic clothes we have, James will hang them up, and then they will be hanging for about a week before they come off of our clothesline. Or she has come to understand that no matter how busy we are, no matter how imperfect the day might be, James still needs to go outside and run no matter what. Not each day is a honeymoon, but each day has value. Each day can be valuable. And as we follow Jesus back down the mountain, as we're willing to step outside of that comfort and be okay with having questions and having doubts, as we we walk with Jesus down the mountain, we see our faith at work in being of service when there are more questions than answers. We see our faith at work as we seek out the need, the suffering, the oppression, the violence in this world. As we seek the people that Jesus sought in his life, as we abandon those mountaintop moments, we do so with the prayer that our work might offer that moment of epiphany to someone else. That through our willingness to serve, someone else might feel that they are loved and that they belong. That through us, someone will come to know that God truly cares for them when the world is trying to tell them something differently. That through our willingness to leave the mountaintop and embrace the chaos of this world, people will know they have gifts and talents that deserve to be celebrated. So my prayers go with you as you wait for that next mountaintop moment, as you wait for that next time where you truly feel overwhelmed by God's presence. And my prayers go with you as you journey down the mountain with Jesus, with the hope that you'll provide those moments for someone else in your life. Amen.
Thank you, James. Let us continue to worship our Lord with the giving of our tithes and offerings. Please be seated. remember the people far and near who need God's comfort and healing touch. For the students and faculty at Michigan State University. For those struggling with their health. Anne, Dave, Elise, Kim, Joni, Kathy, Maggie, Joel, and Barbara. Let us pray. In the abundance of your mercy, O God, we pray for loved ones far and near who need your healing touch. O Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are filled with grief, who need your words of comfort. O Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are in harm's way, who need your protection. O Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are troubled in mind and spirit. Send your peace. We ask all this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.